listening to the Already Extraordinary Podcast, where we have real conversations with real people about real life, and we always keep it 100. So sit back, relax, and let's get this thing started. Already.
All right, we already extraordinary. Everybody got a little piece to say about who they are, why we're here, what's going on. So we can start with the Trillis. Who's that going to be?
You.
What? Yeah, I took a deep breath.
Ladies first.
So I'm here not only to support the plethora of people that I know in my community, but I actually want to support the community. I want to play a role in what it is that we do out here in these streets and impact your everyday. Whether you knew it or not, we're going to have a small impact, a big impact, a little impact. There will be an impact if you're listening in. That's why I'm here.
Already.
Straight up.
I mean, I don't know if they did. All right.
This is our call to action. This is the way we're going to engage in the community, give back. This is our interpretation of our experiences, our successes, our failures. We want to express a different alternative, how to be successful, non-traditional. There's a lot of ways, but the big thing that we want to share, already exceptional. You have to first believe you're already special. You're already enough. You don't need nothing extra, and we just want to bring that best out of you. So already exceptional is going down.
And what's your
show? Quincy.
And what's your name?
You know what I'm going by. We're going to go by Pete today.
Today. Today.
Don't laugh at me.
Keep going, right? RP.
So your boy RP right here. Yeah, like I said, the reason for my existence of being here, thank God above. Definitely, like this, my counterparts mentioned, but definitely want to give back to our community, but also just show how we can enhance Black excellence. One thing that I would like to focus on is Black excellence, man. I'm just trying to show how we can be a resource to our own community, but also to our future generations. Mm. So that's why my reason for existence.
Mm-hmm. Is it going through?
That's what's up.
That is what's up. That's what's up right there. Keep the ball rolling. Y'all.
Already.
Somebody pick it up.
Already.
Pick up the mic.
Already.
Brooks, you
know. All right, we're going to go to Broussard.
It's me, Jarrell. You know, everything that they said, it's about setting an example. It's about being something and showing people that there's a different way. Right, it's about being an example in our community and showing people that no matter where you at, no matter what you're doing, there's always a way. So, you know, that's what it's about is in regards to being extraordinary and understanding your powers within.
Mm.
That's it.
Because there is always a way.
Straight up.
This is Mark. I just want to, my why is just to give back, to share, to talk to people about what they can do, how to get there, how to do it. I had a lot of experience figuring things out and, you know, trying to make a way out of no way. So, you know, this is my way of hopefully giving, inspiring somebody to figure things out themselves.
Mm-hmm. Straight up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, all turn right one time, because all we got is a profile. We got that light brown.
Already.
All right.
Already. Lastly, my name is Jacques Broussard.
George.
I'm here to encourage counsel. Oh. Encourage counsel and speak to those that you have in your life. You know, greatness is within you. And a lot of times what you need to take it to the next level is right in front of you. So encourage counsel, speak to those that you in your life. Don't underutilize the people that you have in your life because there's greatness that's right in front of you. You just have to take advantage of it.
So clearly we're here for you.
Yes.
Okay. Shortly put, we here for you, okay? So I'm going to take a look at this here paper here. I told these people.
Yeah,
we're professional.
This thing says, was COVID needed in our society? What in the get in front of the camera business? So was COVID needed in our society, y'all? First off, I'm going to say hell to the no. Who's the size? You know what? Let me bring it down.
But you got to say.
Bring it down. Oh! I didn't even get to finish my phrase. Needed? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, COVID.
It's listed here, and this is why we put it on here, controversy, right? This is going to happen on this show right here because we already extraordinary. Anybody extraordinary, you don't fit the mold. Okay, we don't do molds here, which is fine. Right. But did we need COVID? Did it have to be? And the reason why I say no is because it didn't have to be COVID. It didn't have to be COVID.
But
it could have been anything
COVID.
Similar. It was. But when you think about what you wrote, was COVID needed? That's specific. No.
Yeah, but
COVID could be replaced by anything.
Yeah, but we have to back that up. We have to, first of all, it's coronavirus. We have to talk about how it came to be and how it affected the world. It was a global thing. So no one just felt that COVID was, you know, coronavirus was necessary, however you want to label it. But I think everyone has a story. Everybody had to respond and react to it. And I think, you know, the spiritual realm, there was a reason why it happened.
Right,
and
right.
And for Already Exceptional, we want to show how we rebounded, how we navigated, so how we just took the situation and tried to improve on it. And I think a lot of people are coming out on top business-wise with a different focus, different determination, different appreciation on life. But for those who haven't reached that level, we want to tap in and help them out. You know, it's for everybody.
So let me ask you, what do you think on a spiritual level, what was the purpose of the coronavirus, the pandemic?
Well, for me,
it's thick.
For me, it's all about keeping God first, right? So the first thing coronavirus
was the God saying, hold up.
No. Well, it was about God wants everyone to keep him first. And I think the first thing coronavirus did was it divided what's essential and what's not essential. Mm-hmm. You had to, who's important, how you want to risk your life, the family you want to visit, how you want to travel, how you want to move, what's important, what's not important. But the number one important thing that's supposed to be on that list, which is essential, is God. So,
let's let RP go. He has something to say. I have something to say too, but I think he's had something to say from Gid.
And to top that off, from a spiritual standpoint, if you look back through history, especially if you know your Bible, there's been a lot of resets in our lives, like a lot of resets. And if you look, you know, we're in turmoil, especially, like I said, let's be real for a second. Still a lot of race issues going on. And again, like I said, you look back at Harvey, for instance.
There are plagues and things that occur.
Correct. And so guess what? When Harvey came along, you saw the Cajun Navy show up. Now, I guarantee you the Cajun Navy are a bunch of Trump supporters, but they didn't give a damn if we were black, white.
Cajun Navy? Tell people that don't.
The Cajun Navy came from Louisiana with their boats. They really believe in, you know, rescuing individuals. But guess what they did? So regardless of their political views, they put those views aside and came and helped our society in Houston, who literally was all completely underwater. So if you look at these type of events, oftentimes they really pause us from having those turmoils within each other and bring each other closer. So I think God does do a reset on us on purpose. And I'm sure a lot of people will disagree, but I do truly believe in my heart of hearts that he has paused us on purpose and showed us throughout the years type of events to bring us closer together, and then all of a sudden race is not a factor.
But do you think the coronavirus brought us together or separated us? Because I feel I feel like there was a very distinct split between one side that took the coronavirus seriously and one side that took the coronavirus.
But there's the gray. And here is where I'm going to contest everybody on this. I think that, like I was saying previously, it's not just the coronavirus. Maybe coronavirus is what did it this time. But where you sat spiritually beforehand and today, of course, it's not the same after 2 years of trials and tribulations, roughly 2 years. But at the very, very, very beginning of it, we learned everybody's true grit, did we not?
Mm-hmm. You learned the
character
of
people. It was a real test. Where are you spiritually, mentally, physically?
We all did.
True, yeah.
People
true,
just didn't want to believe in the hype. And unfortunately, that's because of today's media. Because to me, when you say I thought it was fake, that tells me intellectually.
Do you still think it's fake?
Because you dig deeper. But some people think, oh, it's fake.
My question is, do you still think it's fake?
So it's all a very opinion. It's opinionated.
Yeah.
It's opinionated.
So
you're right.
It's a
you're right, though. Yeah. Some people
still have reservations.
Don't believe. We created the vaccine for the fraudulent COVID-19.
So, for the money.
Pharmaceutical.
And not to cut you off. To answer Mark's question directly, Mark asked, did that really tear us up right now and divide us? And I mean, of course, like I said, ignorance divided us, right? Because we let ignorance divide us. And that's when I was like, dude, I'm trying to show you again, but y'all just don't get it. You let ignorance, as Quincy say, like, get ahead of me. But at the end of the day, we all lost our jobs. Like I said, you know, when I say we, I mean, I'm just talking about Americans.
A lot of people.
Yeah, collectively, we all lost our jobs. We all are suffering financially. Mm-hmm. We're all, again, behind on mortgages. Many of us, and we saw the lines in Houston, Texas, all across the nation, where black, white, Mexican, Asian were lined up just to get food.
Right.
So did it all impact us? Absolutely. So it did bring us together because we all buckled under the same pressures of suicide, divorce, you name it, all that impacted us. So yes, it did bring us closer.
It did. But when you think about it, to me, it's as simple. Sometimes I try to see things for the simple versus the complex. I feel like I'm both. I'm a simple and complex woman. Simply put, what COVID did is allow every individual to see the selfishness or the selflessness within yourself. And then that, it just exuded amongst the community, your environment, selflessness or selfishness. And if you were in the gray in between, but that's what it allowed. And it didn't allow you to just identify that for yourself. It allowed your outside community to actually take a look at you and be like, RP, how selfish or how selfless. There was so much more judgment and then so little judgment in between, because what we all got to do was take that relaxation of, oh shit, this is everybody. Like, it's not just me. All of these classifications faded away and kind of dissolved. Kind of just like what Hurricane Harvey did for Houston out here. It took away the economic class. It took away the economic class, even though it was a very temporary period. And I feel like that's what COVID did, but I still feel in my heart of hearts it didn't necessarily have to be COVID.
So back to the topic, though. Was it needed?
And again, I don't understand,
you have to break that down. I still don't understand what that means. Because was it needed?
Was it needed means basically all the things that were going on in our life. COVID caused us to stop. COVID caused us to pause.
It did.
COVID caused us to think about things because now you got time.
Right?
So, was it needed?
So, I think it was needed for people to start washing their hands.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to ask the question right quick.
So, and again, this is just a quick yes or no. Did you better something about yourself during COVID, Mark? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Jock, did you better yourself?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Quincy.
I did.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So if you ask me right now, again, ask that question, was it needed? Absolutely. Because you just have six different individuals and we've all gone through six totally separate scenarios. So we all say yes to us better and
Let me ask why we're harping on COVID. Because I think that we do that because that's what happened.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who are after the fact people, and no judgment there. Everybody lives their own lives.
Of course.
I'm a pre-planner, though. I try to anticipate things and plan for, okay, if this happens, if that happens. And if you're after the fact, then maybe that's your mindset. COVID needed to happen. But for me, I say no. It didn't have to be COVID. George Floyd wasn't the first.
Of course not.
Wasn't the first, but that was the catalyst that blew America up in the spotlight globally, where it was like, enough is enough. So COVID didn't have to be COVID. COVID could have been anything else. COVID wasn't the flu. What was that? The SARS.
Right.
COVID wasn't SARS. SARS could have been COVID, but we didn't let it be. I feel like it's what we accept, we allow in, what we resonated with, if that makes sense.
So my quick question is, do you think if we weren't sitting still due to COVID, we would have cared as much about George Floyd?
So I actually think that those are two separate things.
If we were still busy in our everyday life.
Oh no, I hear you. Because I want to say, I think they're two separate things. But I cannot neglect the fact that COVID impacted how everybody felt about George Floyd.
It slowed us down.
It gave you more time to sit still to think about it. So yes, I understand that impact.
If there was no COVID,
but I keep saying
George Floyd happened,
because COVID could have been SARS, and that's my mentality on it. It's okay.
And it could have been, but all we do is speak on what we have.
Because COVID is SARS,
but and at the end of the day, again, we would never know. Obviously, it's hypothetical.
Right.
All I'm saying is that with us being our everyday life, like you say, George Floyd was not the first. He's not going to be the last.
Right. At all.
But George Floyd happened during COVID and took everybody time to pause because we were literally.
We were already paused.
Right? So
I think they're totally separate.
Mark spoke. He got something to say.
Let me say this. I think George Floyd obviously had a big impact like COVID did, but at the same time, the more it went on, the lesser that the impact of it it is. Same thing with COVID. At first, everybody was like, most people were like, this shit real. This shit real. Coronavirus, you know what I'm saying? But the longer it went on, it became an inconvenience. To put masks on.
Yeah.
Now, George Floyd, same way. At first, everybody's like, damn, that's fucked up. It's fucked up. But the more you hear it and hear it and hear it, like, all right, tired talking about George.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So,
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
To the point to where I'm at a little kid birthday party this weekend, and this little boy is 13 years old, and he was like, justice for P, because, and I'm like, am I that old to where I think that's not funny? You know what I mean? Because I'm looking at, this is what the youth feels, and this is a 12-year-old, and the 14-year-old joined the bandwagon. It was like, justice for P, and I was like, time? Like, don't put me into that. John, yeah. You raised your hand like you had something.
I was going to say, I think a lot of this stuff is a matter of perspective and what you had going on in your life. Because just like we all had absolutely a lot of shit going on at that time, we were all pretty, you know, productive.
Right, it's no right or
people.
Wrong. Yeah.
But there was still plenty of people that wasn't doing shit before it happened. And then they still wasn't doing shit. You know,
still not doing shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, true. Y'all know, there's a lot of people that they were happy as hell to stay fucking home.
Yeah.
I had to employ a lot of these assholes. They were happy to stay at home. I apologize if any of those assholes are going to be listening. But there were a lot of people that wasn't doing shit before, and they continued not doing shit. I don't think that COVID necessarily heightened the situation with George Floyd. I feel like, honestly, we're in a culture where we forget everything so quickly. I don't really think COVID mattered as much when it came back. I think that it was still going to be just as important if it happened, if COVID wasn't going
on. I don't think so.
Guys, I really,
here's the thing. For our kids, right? Our kids were going to school, they were doing things. But I saw my daughter pretty much sit back and stay at home and just sat on social media. She would have known everything that was going on, regardless of what was going on while we're at home working. I'm babysitting, I'm doing this and I'm doing that.
So let me challenge you. So we're talking about, again, let's be real, white America.
Yeah.
And white America, let's be real, helped push George Floyd ahead, right? Yeah. It just wasn't blacks, right?
So
hold on, wait, let me pause that. So you think without white America, it would not have been what it was?
I think, I think because of the pause, white America was able to take it in and actually be able to finally identify. And so many, had some type of sympathy, and then they were able to notice it now because, again, their life was paused.
So you think that was because of COVID?
I do.
Man. Hold on.
I challenge the whole thing just to quickly interject. I think it's George Floyd and coronavirus is two different things. Right. The big difference between George Floyd, because this time it was caught on tape almost from beginning to end. Oh, so that's why it brought everything.
Which is my point.
So wait, hold on.
Because that wasn't the only and first thing caught on tape. And if that's the only thing you saw, so be it. You started somewhere. But I will say that that's not it. I think what COVID allowed for is for all of America to be in a state of contemplation.
Right.
Everybody, no matter what your status is, you weren't there before thinking about everybody and everybody else.
George Floyd was the first person, regardless of whatever video you've ever seen, that you actually saw die.
Eric.
Not the first one, but...
But
you can say it's not the first one.
A to Z.
Not the first one.
A to Z. For 9 minutes and 29 seconds, you saw George Floyd.
So challenge, how about that's the first video they let you see? That's not the first video where people saw
Fidel in Minnesota.
That's true.
The cop shot him in the head. What was that, America? Why? Because we're so busy. We're still busy.
But this is the difference. Right. He was kneeling on the man's neck for 9 minutes.
With all the big quick booty bang. Let Jarrell go, because he started off
He suffered.
Let Jarrell finish.
Eric
Gardner didn't suffer?
So, wait,
it was 9 minutes.
It was
a
chokehold. Stop. Jarrell, in your opinion, please continue.
America has
to. We started about 7:40. What time is it now?
9 minutes and 29 seconds.
I'm going to do 6 minutes.
Marcus.
So maybe give another 5 minutes.
Digest that, and you're able to understand the impact of that. So during 30 seconds, during a minute, during whatever it may be, when all these other videos come out, that's one thing. But if you sit there and watch that whole video,
okay,
for 9 minutes, 29, there's no way that you can come out of that and think that a crime was not committed.
Okay, so, I got you. Yeah. So when we're sitting at home, and let's just take CNN off the table, NBC, Fox off the table.
You say CNN, what's that?
So who?
You said the
TCA.
That's country music.
Color People Network.
But we talk about people sitting at home. Who's watching The View? Who's watching all those other lady talk shows? Who's watching all the shows? The viewing. I can't remember all the names.
Wendy Williams and stuff.
All that stuff. Fine. Wendy Williams. So now it's being played on a mainstream where, again, a lot of white America are sitting at home. And a lot of white Americans are watching those other TV shows outside of those major three news networks.
Played on mainstream.
Yes, you're right. Yes, watching 9 minutes and 25 seconds. But imagine what other shows is appearing on as well. So it opened the window into so many eyes because we were at home.
So you're going to have to end it.
Yeah, you have nothing else.
That's for it
already.
Mm-hmm. So you had to focus on that.
Yeah. You're right.
I think it's a matter of perspective. I think some people would have paid attention. I think that we don't give people enough credit. I think there's a lot of people that would have paid attention that they still would have came together. Mm. You know, I think that COVID was just something. I mean, it's just really a matter of perspective.
You know,
some people got better, some people got worse.
But look at your heart. But what, yeah, people have been
one thing, well, we already extraordinary.
But one thing interesting about the George Floyd and coronavirus was, are we still going to march? Are we still going to wear masks? Like, I remember that being a thing.
Why, if we were still going to protest during a pandemic. Why is
and we did. Well, because the whole thing was that we were the people that was willing to risk their lives during the pandemic. Some had masks, some didn't wear masks. We still didn't know about the evidence and the science, but we had to fight for justice. And I think that was a big piece of, we still had to protest during the pandemic. That goes the strength of the courage of just blacks.
So when you say we, you're talking about black community, right?
Well, it wasn't just the black community. Define
the we that you are speaking on.
Right.
The we is for everyone against injustice.
Right.
Okay.
It's not a color. It's not a demographic or pay scale. It was that was willing to fight for injustice during the pandemic.
So my question is, and like I said, we had marches, again, full of, you know, multi-internationals, races, etc. But you know good and well that we could not have made this successful without white people. Mm. I know people get mad when I say that, but you know good and well, we can have made this successful.
Wait a minute, hold on, come back. Marcus spoke first, we're gonna let him go.
Go ahead.
Marcus, start from the beginning.
Until
start from the top.
Care about something, you can't move the needle.
Exactly.
Right.
And let's say it one more time for everybody.
Why? You care about something, you can't move the needle.
Because that's the America we live in today, and we know that as people of color.
Can I object?
You can respond.
I just want to.
We're not in court.
Yeah. You raised his hand. You're not in class.
Respond.
So Ryan and Mark.
And let's get this to you, honey.
Until white people, what is it, agree, we can't move the
not people. Agree until they
get on board. Right. Until they have to. That's
so my question is, is it that until white people get on board, we can't move the needle, or is it until enough black people?
No.
So listen, black people are what? 12 to 13% of the nation. I'm answering you, though. You asked a question?
Black people are 32 million.
But it's 12.
Right, so
million.
Again, so let me respond to your question. 50,
60, but if 32 million people say we're going to move this, do we need white
people? And we know that's
wait,
not
wait, wait,
happen.
Yo, wait, time out. Let's do mathematics with your boy Jarrell.
Percentages matter.
Let's do mathematics.
You have to realize about politics. Mm-hmm. Percentages matter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Black people have been 13-14%.
We've
been this percent since forever, right?
50 years.
Yeah, we've been the same percent.
You know what I mean?
At
so
because of prison and
people who control
bad health care,
IE media.
Let him finish. So wait, you know what? Let us all finish. You talking about 32 million to the billion? What is that? Math that. Don't say it out loud because we got there for you already. We're trying to help you out.
15%.
We're trying to help you out. Not even, and your math is off on that. If you think 32 million is 15% of the billion, then you are part of the people we're trying to reach.
I'm being generous.
Okay? So know that.
More like 10%.
So I don't even hate actually, but I am on his side. I said the same thing to myself. Unfortunately, we live in an America where the white opinion carries the weight.
Yes.
White opinions matter.
We should
matter.
Know that. And as people of color, we should know that and use that instead of being angry about it, instead of going off and, oh my God,
we
I'm
have
so
to leverage
blah.
It. Yeah.
Leverage it. Thank you, businessman. Yeah. I'm saying leverage that to something that can impact us as a community and also use what you said. Because I'm going to tie in what you said because that's important.
You're making a deep point by saying it that way.
We need more than 32 million to open their eyes to what's going on.
But you know, black people don't vote, nonsense. Though. We don't.
And that's a whole nother topic.
Y'all got a bunch of subsets, A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Okay, we on I.
So Quincy, but again, it goes so much deeper than the voting. Again, that goes back down to education. And when I say education, it don't mean college. I hate when people associate education with strictly college. Education has nothing to do with college. So that's the problem, is that we start with our education. And until we amass that as a community.
Right.
Yeah, we gotta
pray. Go ahead, no, you're good. No, I'm just saying, it's time for what they said, we over. So,
second time. Well, yeah, I said the time.
Scene.
We'll go to the next topic.
Yeah, next topic. Yeah.
Right, that's why I'm roughly on board with the time frame, just so you know.
What's the next topic?
Next topic is relationships, quarantine relationships.
Oh, I'm already, baby.